Meanwhile, most of the progressive professors, at least those who weren't Jews or Bolsheviks, gamely went along. Indeed, many such academics, like Hans-Georg Gadamer, who in later years would exploit their victim status under the Nazis, were quite happy to take a better office vacated by a Jewish colleague. Martin Heidegger, the most influential philosopher of the 20th century, took to the Nazi Revolution instantly. The Cornell takeover echoed these and other fascist themes. Black student radicals, convinced of their racial superiority and the inherent corruption of liberalism, mounted a sustained campaign of intimidation and violence against the very institution that afforded them the luxury of an education. President Perkins himself was a quintessentially progressive educator. With degrees from Swarthmore and Princeton, he cut his teeth as a New Dealer in the Office of Price Administration. Intellectually, Perkins was a product of the progressive pragmatic tradition of William James and John Dewey, rejecting the idea that universities should be dedicated to the pursuit of eternal truths or enduring questions. He ridiculed the intellectual chastity of traditional scholarship and mocked non-pragmatic scholars, modern-day ink knights, who spent their time devoted to barren discussions of medieval scholasticism. Like so many of the New Deal intellectuals, Perkins was hostile to the idea that the past had much to say about the present. For him, the watchword was relevance, which in the 1960s quickly led to empowerment. Perkins believed that universities should be laboratories for social change, training grounds for experts who would parachute into the real world and fix society, like the progressives of Wilson's and FDR's day. For these reasons, plus a decided lack of courage, Perkins prostrated himself to fascist goons while he ruthlessly turned his back on those whose educations, jobs, and even lives were threatened by black power radicals. German students insisted that they be taught German science and German logic. The black radicals wanted to be taught black science and black logic by black professors. They demanded a separate school tasked to create the tools necessary for the formation of a black nation. They backed up these demands not with arguments, but with violence and passionate assertion. In the past, it has been all the black people who have done all the dying, shouted the leader of the black radicals. Now the time has come when the pigs are going to die. Perkins supinely obliged after only token opposition. After all, he explained, there's nothing I have ever said or will ever say that is forever fixed or will not be modified by changed circumstances. The first course offered in the new program was black ideology. Since then, what we now call identity politics has become the norm in academia. Whole departments are given over to the exploration and celebration of race and gender differences. Diversity is now code for the immutable nature of racial identity. This idea, too, traces itself back to the neo-romanticism of the Nazis.